Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. We have got an amazing story today and I'm so looking forward to getting into this one. Now, this one's going to really resonate with those who have got teenagers or had teenagers or surviving teenagehood, because this is all about a father's perspective on a daughter who had anxiety, who was going through all these sort of situations. So you're going to really love this. You're going to get so much out of it. There's lots of tidbits we're going to have. There's lots of information that's just going to naturally come forward. So it's one of those podcasts you may have to listen to a couple of times to really get all that information out of it, because there's lots of layers and lots of depth in this podcast today. We have got Peter Anthony. Now, Peter Anthony is a coach. He is actually a business coach. So when his 16-year-old daughter arrived on his doorstep ready to move in, he tried using his business coaching strategies to get through things. And obviously, there was a lot more needing or a lot more going on that we needed to look at. But I'm not going to tell you all the story. Obviously, that's why I have a guest. So I want to welcome onto the podcast Peter Anthony. Hi, Peter.
G'day, Susan, from Manly in Sydney. Great to be here.
You are from Manly in Sydney?
I'm from Manly. My dad says I was conceived in Manly. I was born in Manly Hospital. I went for a swim in Manly Beach this morning, and unfortunately, I still love it here. So I should get up more, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the Gold Coast, Queensland. So we're both Australians on this podcast today, which is really interesting, because I do have so many American guests. So it's nice to have a change.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Nice hearing an Australian accent too.
Yeah. First of all, I want to get an understanding so my listeners know who you are, what you are, how you got to where you are. What is this all about? Who is Peter Anthony?
Well, I'm many things, I guess. For the context of this, I guess I am a business coach. I work in 12 different countries, and what I do is I help organizations use collaboration to get profitable sales growth. So I'm the corporate guy, and I have been for over 20 years working in the corporate space. And I don't like to admit it, but I was neglecting my emotional life and focusing on my professional life. And in 5 years ago now, 5 years ago, I was a divorced dad. I was living alone in Manly, of course. And I got a call from my daughter, and I was going for a walk at about 9 o'clock at night along the ocean. She gave me a ring and she said, "Dad, can I come and live with you?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "When?" And she said, "Now." So the next morning she arrived on my doorstep, and that's when my life turned upside down.
Yes, I can imagine that. Definitely turning up, especially when you are used to being on your own for a while, and then you have that come in a situation where it just turns everything upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I didn't realize, a couple of things. I didn't realize what a traumatized state my daughter was in, because I was relatively disconnected from her. She was living with her mum, and I didn't realize that. And I also didn't realize just how much emotionally disconnected I was from myself. And in a lot of ways, parenting her or learning how to be a better dad for her meant I had to go on a similar emotional journey that she was going on. Because when you think about anxiety, like we were dealing with, I guess there's two different ways of looking at it. The way Belle was dealing with it was that it was very obvious, and it was very she was very happy to talk about it, and she was feeling it emotionally, she was feeling it physically, she was feeling it mentally. Whereas I was raised old school by a dad that said, if you get a feeling, push it down. So all the anxieties I'd felt in my life, I'd basically just push down, because I had this old school masculinity approach that being a man meant you didn't feel feelings, didn't express feelings. So in lots of ways, I was completely the wrong person to help her. In other ways, I was the right person because I needed as much healing as she did.
Yeah, and the thing is, you said you did collaboration in a business sense, like for executives. What actually does that mean? What does that entail?
What that entails is helping businesses. This is quite ironic me saying this, knowing it back then, but not really knowing it. Helping businesses understand the power of relationships, like relationships in terms of collaborative cultures, relationships in terms of collaborative client relationships to build profitable sales growth. And also relationships with themselves in terms of like one-on-one coaching with people to help them get connected. And it was a lot of that philosophy I took to this situation, which I'm thinking, okay, if I put my collaboration hat on and think what's going to help Belle the most, I'm thinking, well, potentially what's going to help her most is get better connected with herself. And I did a lot of study on anxiety. I started reaching out to groups that specialize in anxiety. We went to see several therapists. And what we realized pretty quickly was that the particular anxiety that we were dealing with was a disconnection from self. And when you're experiencing that, the depth or the breadth of the disconnection you have from yourself is the severity of the anxiety that you're feeling. Because at a fundamental emotional and spiritual level, you want to be connected with yourself. So in lots of ways, what we were learning was learning how to collaborate with yourself. And if you like, have a healthier relationship with yourself. And that was an insight that we got relatively early, because typically I was the guy, I was the Tony Robbins walk on fire guy that said, like, take massive action, you know, make decisions, go forward. I was that type of guy. But in fact, what was required was the opposite. Rather than taking massive action and lots of decisions, it was rather staying very present and understanding where we are, like helping Belle understand where she was and understanding how she was feeling, and get her to collaborate better with herself. And in a strange way, the relationship she had with me, that, like, I guess collaborated with me, if you like, as her dad, or us building that relationship, was also helping her build a better relationship with herself and understand how to do that. Because it's easy to say build a better relationship with yourself, but you think, well, how do I do that? I mean, practically, when you've got someone like my daughter in that case, she wasn't going to school. She was smoking a packet of Marlboros a day. She wasn't getting out of bed till after midday. She was with an exceptionally toxic group of friends. Pretty much, she had a traumatizing experience in a relationship with a boy. Pretty much all the horrific things that happened to her in one step. So we had to work out where she was. Okay, here's where we are. And if we're going on a journey, let's work where we're going on the journey from, and who are we going on this journey? Like, who is she as an individual, and who am I in this relationship with her? Does that make sense? Was that getting a bit too deep, Susan?
No, that makes sense. What I was going to say, which was like a bit of an aha moment for you, because I guess the reality is you were teaching all about, or you were consulting all about relationships and, you know, collaboration and things like that. And then all of a sudden, and keeping that separate from your personal life. And all of a sudden, that's just been thrown, like dumped straight into your lap, where you don't have a choice but to collaborate, to create better relationships and go into it. So that must have been huge.
It was huge. And I believe the when you've got an issue in your life, the universe initially taps you on the shoulder, then it taps you across the face, then it keeps intervening harder and harder and harder until it forces you to learn the lessons that you know, or it knows you need to learn. So this was I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a huge gift to Belle, and it was also a huge gift to me, because we both went on a similar journey. Because I believe when you're looking at anxiety, we all experience it. We all experience anxiety. And what I believe is that we're all experiencing the same movie, if you like. We're just sitting in different seats. At a fundamental level, it's all the same. We just experience it a bit differently, depending upon what particular view or perspective we're taking in it. But it starts at that disconnection stage. Like, we are not collaborating with ourselves, or we're disconnected from ourselves. And we're disconnected from ourselves primarily emotionally, because what Belle and I found was that emotion is both a thought and a feel. Sorry, anxiety is both a thought and a feeling. And you can't necessarily fix a feeling with a thought. You can't think your way out of a feeling. So okay. You're going to be...
Can I just ask, Peter, sorry, I just want to jump in, because I just love where you're going, but I just want to clarify, when you're saying a disconnect from yourself, can you give us a little bit more on your perspective on that, and maybe an example so people have an understanding if they are actually disconnected from themselves?
What I believe is that we're all a bit disconnected from ourselves, and the level of anxiety is the level of disconnection. What I mean by disconnection is there's typically at least two versions of you walking around. There's a underlying real version of you, if you like, how you really feel, how you really think, what you really want. And that starts developing when you're quite young, when you first start realizing who you really are and what you really want in the world. And by young, I mean it could be like early teens or even younger, when you start working out who you are. That's the underlying you. And then often some type of trauma will happen when you're relatively young, and you'll disconnect from that person. And you'll invent or create or make an everyday person that you walk around in, like a version of you that faces the world with a different set of beliefs, a different set of thoughts, but still the same underlying emotions. And it can happen, in my case, it happened when I was relatively young, because that father that I talked about that told me, if you get a feeling, push it down, that masculine piece, he also believed in violence as a way of raising boys. And by violence, I mean like pretty regular violence from him on me. Now, I learned later that was his version of loving me, because he thought that was the way that you raised a son. But that disconnected me from myself, because that little boy that used to get really hurt that his dad was hitting him disappeared or got disconnected from the person that I then pretended to be, which was this strong, masculine guy that was pushing feelings down and going around the world and running businesses. I was that guy. And there was a big disconnect between the really thoughtful, emotional, soft, sensitive boy and the male that was what you'd call now a toxic male. There's a big disconnect.
That's a great explanation. Absolutely.
And I didn't know that. I had no idea. I had no idea that. Well, I knew that it happened when I was a kid, but I didn't realize just how disconnected I was, and it was causing me problems in relationships, like romantic relationships, because I couldn't. I remember, you'll love this, Susan. I remember a partner of mine when I was about 20. I really loved this girl, and we went out for about a year, and I thought, wow, I think she's really spectacular, and she broke up with me. right? And she, underneath, I was devastated. On the outside, I was acting really tough, like it didn't really matter. And I asked her, I said, and you'll love it. She said, I said, so, why did you break up with me? And she said, Peter, she said, on the surface, on the surface, there's a lot of surface, and beneath that surface, there's even more surface. She said, I just can't work out who you are. And she broke up with me. And that should have been a marker that should have been a marker, but I was a bit too emotionally naive and a bit too ambitious. Like my life then was all about ambition. It's all about going to uni, getting a big job, making money, being master of the universe, all those typical old school male things. So it just sort of, I just sort of brushed it off. I didn't realize that it was a message from the universe at that stage. And the experience I had with Belle made me think, because as I was attempting to help her, what I was really doing, I was helping heal her, I was also helping heal myself.
Absolutely, absolutely. You start to see that mirror reflection. You start to get that understanding of it, don't you?
Yeah, and I think at a fundamental level, we're all the same. At a universal level, we're all the same, and we all experience things the same way. I used the movie example before. You can go and see a great movie, like you're watching your life, or you're watching a stage of someone's life in a movie, and everyone in that theater is experiencing the same thing in the same way.
But they take it on a different way and they respond to it in a different way and they react to it in a different way. Yeah, because they're looking for what they want under the guise of what or who they are or who they believe they are.
And part of the disconnection from self is disconnection from others, because you think, oh, well, I've got this uniquely painful experience that no one else is having. But in fact, we're all having uniquely painful experiences. We're all sharing fundamentally the same uniquely painful experience, right? So when you do collaborate, or you do connect, or you do honestly reveal yourself to somebody, you'll find that other people are feeling the same way. And this is particularly true with blokes. We aren't really good at sharing feelings with each other, right? We're not that good. I mean, women are a lot better at it than men. Let's put it that way. We're not very good at it. And since I've started doing that, the quality of my male relationships has just skyrocketed. And they've also changed. And some of my friends have obviously changed. But my level of relationships, it's because I talk about being vulnerable. I talk about being scared. I talk about being anxious. I talk about being afraid. And it's not something that a lot of guys have a lot of language around.
And with that, you do make those connections because they then feel comfortable in opening up and talking about different things.
They do. And if you think about them, I just thinking about the movie example, and I said earlier about fundamentally anxiety is about being disconnected from yourself. You think, well, how do I get connected? And you think, well, you can do it in many different ways. You think, well, there's an inner you, there's a little person, if you like, that was called to an adventure when they are quite little, like a unique adventure for them, unique set of experiences and emotions and feelings and relationships. And it's about reconnecting with who that person is, and reconnecting with what your adventure is, and so that it's your adventure that you're living. It was what Belle and I guess the second stage in this process was understanding that and attempting to connect with who that person was, who that little girl was for her, and who that little boy was for me.
So if we go back to Belle and the situation, so she's coming to your home, she's coming to you back into your life. I mean, she was always in your life, but right on your lap type thing.
Literally.
And she was going through all her trauma and all her dramas and all her situations. So how, and I guess I'm asking now practical steps. How did you actually start to be able to talk to her? Like, did you sit down and talk to her? Did you demand it? How did it come about that you started this conversation?
Well, how the real conversation started was that we we were in the kitchen one night, we'd cooked dinner, we're just cleaning up, and we had this conversation about her not being strong enough or smart enough or beautiful enough to deal with the problems that she was dealing with. And we decided to do two things. We decided to break the problems down into the smallest possible steps that we could think of. And I asked her to commit to two things. One was to tell me the truth, like be honest with me. And the second was to accept that she was enough, that she was strong enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, whatever enough, to take, not to change her life, but to take the tiny step. So rather than saying, look, you've got to change your entire life, which is my original approach, take the massive action, right? Which doesn't work. And we decided that night, we said, okay, we're going to break it down into tiny steps and we're going to accept the fact that we're enough to take the tiny step, whatever that tiny step is. And the first of those tiny steps for Belle was getting out of bed before midday. That was the first tiny step. And we kept adding tiny, tiny, tiny steps, and she realized, yeah, I'm enough to do. I'm strong enough to do this. I can get out of bed before midday, and then it was like little things like getting outside, going for a walk, like just walking for 20 minutes and back, then it was eating more regularly each day, tiny steps. It was thinking about changing friends and thinking about, okay, what's the smallest step I could think? Well, the smallest step is I could think of someone that might be a useful friend for me now. So it's like tiny, tiny, tiny steps and building momentum. And as she took more and more tiny steps, she got more confidence. And I think she also got confidence from understanding that I was going to be there no matter what. Because she said to me, honestly, when she came and lived with me, she said, Dad, I'm not coming to live with you because I love you. I'm going to live with you because you're my last resort.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Right?
Yeah. And I said, thank you. I really appreciate that because I love the honesty and I want you to keep that up.
And I just want to go back to that too, Peter, because you said there was two things. One was honesty and one was you're enough. Now, were you aware that when you've said that, you have to actually take that on board as well? Were you being honest with her and how you were going? Yeah.
And the great thing about Belle is she called me to account too. I mean, she was to listen really, but she wasn't like this little sweetheart that was like patting a purring cat. It wasn't like that. It was like we had some very confronting conversations, put it that way, very confronting both ways. And I had to go on the same journey because what I'd done was she thought she wasn't enough to take these small steps. And I thought the opposite. I thought I was more than enough. I thought I was master of the universe. So if you like, I was this overinflated man of the world, ego-driven person flying to different countries, thinking that I was master of the universe. So I thought I was more than enough. My ego had exploded. And her ego was like tiny. So we had to sort of meet somewhere in the middle, saying, hey, I'm just a... And it was the same message for me. All I need to be is enough. All I need to be is enough to do this. I haven't got to be more than enough, just enough. That's it. Mm. Right. And that was, it was like a revelation for us. You know, when you get those moments where that's it. Yeah. That's it. We had that through conversation. And a lot of, ironically enough, a lot of what I teach in my business practice is collaborative conversations. And I wrote a book on having collaborative conversations and how you get better outcomes when you have a collaborative conversation. And I've realized that it works at this level too, the conversation you have with yourself. Because if you think about when you're very anxious or feeling very negative, the biggest critic you've got is yourself. You're having a conversation with yourself you wouldn't have with anybody else, right? It's very critical. It's very damaging. It's very damning. It's very destructive. It's very pessimistic.
Yeah.
So you think, I need to change how I'm talking to myself and who's talking to who. So we think, okay, we've got honesty, which it's got to begin and end with. We've got the I'm enough to do this, and I've got tiny steps I'm taking. I'm just taking tiny steps, and I feel good about tiny steps. I don't like the massive action idea in these environments. I think it's quite damaging, because then when you can't take the massive action, you feel even worse afterwards. And it's not a good, a decent therapeutic approach. So that's where we started.
That okay. So you've, I've lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
That was really good. I really like that. So you've had that understanding. Oh, I know what it was. When you were saying that you had the inflated ego, and Belle had this like shrinking ego, or, you know, very, very small, that is happening. And it doesn't matter whether you've got it inflated or whether you've got it small, that is happening in those sort of relationships in father, daughter, mother, son, mother, daughter, all sorts of relationships in that context, is that as a parent, we have lived through so much. So it's not necessarily always about our ego being so big, but our knowledge is so big. We've watched people do it. And we're trying to bring that and all that ego and everything else that goes with it down to their level. And they have this understanding that they do know everything, absolutely everything. And we've got to get that happy medium. That's what I really liked about it. You talked about it in the ego sense, but in every sense, we've got to find that happy medium between the parent and the child. We can't demand that we are right and they're wrong.
Exactly. And I think it's important too to be vulnerable as a parent and not have like a master teacher relationship. And I like the way Brené Brown talks about vulnerability when she talks about courage, and she says, you've got to have the courage to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart and be vulnerable with your, particularly your teenage children. Because what I find is if you're willing to be vulnerable, it opens up the relationship, as opposed to being the master, the mother that knows everything, or the father that knows everything that's teaching this kid. I believe that creates a lot of distance between you. So I believe vulnerability is important. And I also believe it's important that quite often, if you're having what I've found, and in working with a lot of parents in this space, which I do now, and talk to a lot of parents with children suffering from anxiety, whether they're boys or girls, it's often the parents that need to learn the lesson too. There's often something in the parent's life that is causing the conflict too. It's not only about the kid. It's often there's something that the parent, there's some perspectives maybe us parents need to be thinking about as well. And it puts you in a better relationship with them.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the reality is no one's 100% perfect. So we can learn so much from our children. We've got to be open-minded for it and be able to help them.
It's a message from the universe, Susan. I mean, what I believe is that every relationship in your life, every circumstance that happens to you, it's like Rumi talks about when he talks about them being like messages from beyond. You don't know where the message is coming from, but I can guarantee if something significant has happened or happening in your life, it's causing anxiety, it's a message that you might need to change the dialogue you have with yourself, change the way that you're talking to yourself, and change, work out who you're talking to when you're talking to yourself.
Yes, I agree.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. And while I'm on that subject of who I am talking to, because I've got the little ticker tape going down the bottom, and I haven't actually mentioned, if you do want to connect with Peter Anthony, you can go to his website, which is peteranthonyconsulting.com. So Peter's easy to spell, Anthony's easy to spell, consulting is easy to spell if you know how to do Google.com. So peteranthonyconsulting.com. Now, the other thing I wanted to say too is that you do have a book out. Now, it's called, hang on, let me say.
It's called Collaborate Abra.
Collabradabra, and it's the
It's called Collabradabra. It rhymes with abracadabra because I was teaching collaboration. I still am. And I thought, well, there's a magic in this collaboration. Magic, abracadabra, collaboradabra. So I wrote the book in a series of airport lounges in different parts of the world.
So is it more business orientated, or can we get a lot out of it?
It's business orientated, but it's about collaborative conversations. So yeah, parents can get a ton out of it too. It's about how to have, and reflecting on the sorts of conversations I was having with Belle, it's completely relevant. It's not written from a parent's perspective. It's written from people that would like to have better, more effective conversations. And it improves romantic relationships. There's work by people like John Gottman on romantic relationships and conversations. It's about business relationships. It's about anywhere where you need to broaden and deepen the relationship. And the assumption is that the quality of your relationships is the quality of your conversations, whether they're business relationships, whether they're friendships, whether they're sales relationships, parenting relationships, and even the relationship you have with yourself, and the conversations you have with yourself, which I believe are the most important ones to get right. Because like they do in the aircraft, when they say in case of emergency, that the masks will come down, make sure you put yours on first before you give it to anybody else. You've got to get your own stuff sorted out first before you can really help anybody else. You've got to really know what you're doing and how you're feeling and how you did that. And then you can really help somebody else because you're coming at it from a different space. You're coming at it from a different level, if you like.
Yeah, coming at it from the true you.
You're coming at it from the true you. Yeah, and you're also just working out. I mean, the other thing we learned was that one of the reasons I got disconnected from that little boy that used to get hurt, and the reason Belle got connected or disconnected from the little girl that got hurt, was that they feel really vulnerable. That little kid feels vulnerable. So you like create an identity to protect that that vulnerable person, right? Mm. And but when you get hurt, as Belle got hurt, it's that little girl that got hurt, not the strong external fake exterior. The little girl that gets hurt, just like when I was getting hurt, it was a little boy that was getting hurt. So it's a journey of understanding who that little girl or little boy is, and having a relationship with her or with him, saying, "I've got you. It's okay. You're enough. It's okay. I've got you. I, the adult me, has got you, the little me. I'm gonna look after you. I've got you, mate. Like I've got a photo of myself when I was little." And I regularly meditate to him and talk to him and said, "Mate, I've got you. It's okay. I've got you. I'm here for you." Just like the same message I was giving to Belle. "Hey, I've got you. I'm here. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, how much you insult me, how much shit you give me, I've got you. I'm here." Right. And part of her trusting the journey was trusting that I was going to be there with her. And one of the reasons she gave me so much shit, if I can say that, was she wanted to see whether she could trust the relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing is, one of the things that I always did with mine, and I don't know where I got this from. I might have got it from Mum, I'm not sure. But one of the things that came across really clearly was, you can love a child, you can love a teenager, you can love anyone. You don't have to love their behaviors. And that's that external aspect of them. So I know with my partner, I said to him, you know, your kids are great. One of them was going through a lot of trouble with drugs and everything else. I said, but the core of them are lovely. The core of them are perfect. It's the behaviors that you need to just disconnect from. So you're not treating their behaviors. You're treating them properly.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And it's also about helping. It's also about you accepting who they are. Like maybe they're not growing into the ideal child you want them to be. Maybe there's something else, right? That's not ideal for you. And as a parent, you need to love them in a way that allows them to be the person that they need to be fully expressed and fully happy and fully loving in their version of themselves. And make that okay, because if they feel like it's not okay, they'll disconnect from you just like they disconnect from themselves, and then they're really in trouble. Disconnected from themselves, disconnected from their parents, and then they'll learn to have disconnected relationships with people, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know people had disconnected relationships their entire life because they're not connected with themselves. Because they think, okay, if I'm going to fall in love with you, who am I falling in love with, right? Who is this woman I'm falling in love with, or man I'm falling in love with?
Yes.
And you need to work out who you are and accept that and embrace that. And that begins with you on you and the other, like, important relationships with parents. So I'd say, hey, help them understand who they are, and not just help them accept who they are, but you accept who they are. They could be quite divergent from the perfect child that you would like them to be. And if they get a sense of that, they'll disconnect from you too. Then they're really in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're really in trouble. Yeah, I sound very preaching today, Susan. Sorry, I've got my soapbox.
Love it, love it. But before we go any further, too, I want to talk about you. You said you had your book, the Collabradabra.
Collabradabra. Rolls off the tongue.
Collabradabra. So it's the magic of collaboration. By yes. Peter Anthony. Now, where can we get that? Amazon, can we get that?
Amazon, anywhere, type it in any search engine, you'll find it. Cool. You'll find it on my website, you'll find it on Amazon. Anywhere you normally find books, you'll find Collabradabra. It's been up for about 3 years now. It's working really well. That's really cool. I appreciate
it. Might be time for a new one, hey? More about parenting style.
Yeah, I might do a parody book. I have written a lot on this because I talk to a lot of people and I'm involved in a lot of parenting groups, and I've been on a very steep learning curve around anxiety in teenagers, both girls and boys. Boys have it too, but in a different way. I'd be very keen to do that, and maybe I can come back on when I've written the parenting book, Susan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to touch on now about the anxiety and go into that a little bit more, because we've got a happy ending to we've got a happy ending, which is what I want to share as well. So how that went.
Well, the happy ending began with this idea we talked about a moment ago, which is you're enough. And she really liked that idea. And she was coming up, she was in year 11 at that stage. And she said, I've got a HSC project coming up, Dad. One of the things we can do is like running a business. So she said, I want to start a business, enough business, like NUFF, like you're enough. And I want to make T-shirts and I want to sell them on the northern beaches of Sydney, and I'm going to start the business and run my HSC project. I'm thinking, who's going to buy a T-shirt with enough written on it? I mean, like NUFF. It can't be you're enough, Dad. It could be enough, NUFF, because it's okay for it to be spelt wrong. That's actually part of the message. Okay. So I was the angel investor. I had to set up the website and the Shopify store, this sort of stuff. Spend several thousand dollars buying all these shirts. Would have been three different colors and five sizes. Had a garage full of shirts. I'm thinking, who's going to buy these, right? So we put the Shopify site up. I put it on Facebook on the northern beaches, and suddenly, ding, 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 sold out, like in a couple of weeks. Then we had to pack them all. Then we had to deliver them all. I said, okay, Bell, assignment. And I said, Dad, I'm going to keep this going. I want to spread the message to the world that, you know, you're enough to deal with the problems that you've got. And it's a great message. So she started that business, which is still going strong now. It's moved from the northern beaches of Sydney to now selling not just T-shirts, but hoodies and caps and beanies and candles, and just with enough written on it, NUFF. And Bell's idea is it starts the conversation that you're enough. Like it reminds you you're enough. Not more than enough or less than enough, just enough. And it's a great gift for somebody else to help them to remember that they're enough too. So now she's selling in Canada and the US and the UK, all through the same website. If you want to see a picture of her, she's the star of the show. And you can look at, just type in youreenough.com, youreenough, youreenough.com. You'll see Bell. You'll see all the products. And if you think it's a message that resonates with you, or someone that you know that might need reminding they're enough, log on, check it out. I'd love it if you could support her by supporting the business. That would be really cool.
Cool. And I've looked at it. I've jumped on the website. So I had a look at Belle and I gave her away, but she didn't wave back. but I love it. My like I was talking about my partner again, and he does, he's workplace health and safety. Now they've got the, you know, the fluoro yellow shirts with the navy blue. But when he did Mates in Construction, which is mental health awareness, he got shirts and they had all this floral colours on the top there. Not flower colours, but more, you know, more masculine, but really bright colours at the top. And I'd said to him when he wore it, and I said, well, what's this shirt? Like, that's a different shirt. And he goes, that's exactly what the shirt's about. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
When the guys are on construction, when he's going in there, they sort of give him a hard time, say, oh, well, what a saucy shirt that one is, and rah, rah, rah. And that gives him...
It starts the conversation, exactly, which is what Belle's idea is. And what I originally thought it would be teenagers buying the shirts, but it's if I look at who's buying, it's like 85% mums. They're buying it for themselves, right?
Yep.
And their kids, and also for friends. I have people sending us messages, oh, look, my niece is in the UK. She's going through a struggling time. I'm going to send her this to help her remember that she's enough. We have people, I had one guy that said, sent us a message saying, are you selling 7XL? I said, 7XL? I didn't know 7XL existed.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, look, I'm a really big guy. I love this message. I'd love to wear the shirt to help me remember that I'm enough so that I can, get my weight under control. I talked about it with Belle. It was going to make us lose a lot of money making this one 7XL shirt, but we made it for him, right? Mm. So it's a message, I guess, to yourself that you're enough. It's also a message to other people to start conversations, or if they're in a struggling time, get them a candle, get them a cap, get them a beanie. Belle's even got socks, white socks with little pink nuffs on them. So she said, oh, then you can go to bed at night, Dad, remember you're enough. I said, Belle, I'm not going to wear white socks with pink on it. That's fun. I'm going to draw the line there, wearing socks to bed, right? But I draw the line there. But that's also part of her journey, like having this idea and running the business is part of her journey, so that became successful. She got more confidence. She went back to school. She was a year behind. She did the year 12. She's now enrolled in a law degree at uni. She's got an awesome relationship with an engineering student who's a really lovely guy. She failed her, I'd say how lovely this guy is. She failed her first driving test. We're doing some driving. She failed the test and she was crying that she'd failed the first time. He drove from his place to our place, which is about 20 Ks away, just to deliver her flowers to make her feel better, then drove back home again.
Yeah.
What a great guy. And she's attracting different people into her life, because part of what we used to talk about was you become who you hang around. But you can't change everything in one go. We had to change the friendship group, change the health, change the sleeping, change the eating, change everything, little steps at a time, and gradually just move forward. And then you start getting more momentum. You start feeling better about yourself. You get better connected with yourself. You're more on your journey, your individual journey. And you love that, because we're hardwired to feel good by doing well in our, being the best versions of ourselves. When you think about the art of intuition, I'd say the art of intuition is understanding who you are having a great relationship with that person, and then having a full expression of that person in the world. And that to me is the art of intuition. And then everything else tends to become a lot easier.
Yeah. Oh, nailed it, mate.
You nailed it, mate.
Yeah. And the other thing I did want to say about the socks was, you keep on saying, break it down one step at a time.
Yeah.
Isn't that the socks?
Yeah, it can be the socks. It can just getting a pair of socks.
It can just be the socks. I'm enough to get one step at the time. I just need to do that.
I'm just going to get some socks and wear them to bed. If you're a sock wearer to bed, Just get the socks. I'm just going to get a t-shirt and wear the t-shirt. I mean, some people wear them to bed too. They wear them as like night dresses to bed. Great, fantastic. Yeah. Whatever that little thing is, but that, because it's just a reminder to you, which is great. But then people say, what's this nothing you got? And they'll say, oh, that's about this. It just starts the conversation.
It does.
Because it's a hard conversation to start. That's also, this is part of Bell's genius. It's also a tiny step. You can't walk up to someone and say, oh, how's your self-esteem going today? You're not going to start the conversation that way.
No.
But you might say, hey, this Nuff idea, that was part of her genius. Like she took a little idea and she's now turned it. And what she does with the process, I said, oh, this is great, Bell. We can, that's the capitalist, we can start making money out of this. She said, Dad, we're not going to make any money out of it. Any money we make, we're going to reinvest. She supports charities like Batir, who run programs for young people struggling with self-esteem.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all being reinvested into that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets back to the collaboration piece, which is like where my secret sauce is that those collaborative relationships. She's just taken it into a different space, if you like.
Yeah.
Collaborating with her peers, if you like. Because a lot of those kids won't have that conversation, that they're 80% of their time they're spent on short form video like TikTok and YouTube Shorts. That they get their dopamine hits. They're not thinking like that. They're bulletproof, which is really dangerous.
Yeah,
it's dangerous not being vulnerable. Being vulnerable is really useful because then you're open to learning and open to developing. But you need to be vulnerable with the right people. Have those solid parents or friends around you that can help you in that space. Yeah, that's what your Enough's about. Yeah.
Okay, I have to stop you there because we're running out of time. And I was going to say, have you got any more last questions? Any more last?
Have I got your last questions?
I think you've just given us all the words of wisdom.
I'm not sure I've given you all the wisdom. I genuinely hope I've just asked you to think about this in a different way. And I'd be asking for help in two ways. One is, check out the website, see if there's something there you might like for yourself or someone you know. Or if you've got some ideas on how Bell and I can help this conversation go further, like if you're part of a Lions Club group or an association or a group that we could connect to help spread the message or learn more about the message, shoot me a message. You've got my email there. You've got my contact details. I'd love to hear from you because we're just part of one big community. Wanting to help people live healthier, better lives by feeling better about themselves and realizing that they're enough to deal with what life dishes up.
Thank you so much. And I do have to say that's the end. But don't go away, okay? Stay there. I'm going to do my bit and then we're out.
Cool.
Thanks, Peter.
Pleasure.
Hey, guys,
pleasure.
That was amazing. You really do need to jump onto the website. So there's two. Obviously, if you want to contact with Peter, go to peteranthonyconsulting.com or check out yourenough.com. Now, how that is spelled, remember, is N-U-F-F. So your, Y-O-U-R-A, enough, N-U-F-F. Okay, that's fantastic. That has been a brilliant. I love that podcast. That was really good. And if you need to get a bit more understanding of it, jump back in and have another listen because there's pearls of wisdom all the way through that one. Well, for want of another word, go and give your teenager a hug if that's what they need. You know, be open for it. So that is me for today. I hope to see you next week. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast, and we will see you next week. Bye for now.